spiritual master is not God, but to the disciple, the spiritual master is non-different from the Supreme Personality of God. Because the way one acts towards the spiritual master, accordingly Krishna will register on record. Because the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. And Krishna, in two ways, helps a living entity. Internally, as the super soul or Chaitanya Guru, and externally, as the spiritual master. When our vision, our perception is external, then Krishna will, then we have to depend upon the spiritual master for guidance. But at an advanced stage, a devotee will hear the voice of the super soul, who is the Chaitanya Guru, the Guru in the heart. And actually the spiritual master and Chaitanya Guru to a disciple are the same. At an advanced stage, a disciple sees that the spiritual master is not only without, but he is also within. He is non-different from the super soul in the heart. So, Krishna instructs as the super soul within and as the spiritual master without. Both are Krishna's representation. And ultimately Krishna is the Guru, Adi Guru, original Guru. So, then when one becomes engaged in serving under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, his material contamination becomes washed away, starts to get removed or reduced gradually. That stage is called anarthanirvritti. Anartha means the unwanted attachment. The things that we are considering to be valuable, but actually they are useless. That is what anartha. The attachment to this material nature, attachment to wealth, attachment to position, attachment to opposite sex, attachment to family members. All these attachments are actually hindering our progress towards Krishna, holding us back. The spirit soul should go back to Krishna. That's his natural position, that's his natural propensity. But what is causing the hindrance, what is actually holding the living entity back from going to Krishna? This anarthya, hridaya granthi, dhiddate hridaya granthi, chiddante sarva samsaya. The devotional service actually cuts this attachment. There are various types of anarthas, and they come in different ways, desire for distinction, adoration and profit. These are the subtle form of anartha, the tendency to establish ourselves as someone very big. These are all the subtle anarthas, and gross anarthas are the gross attachments in the material nature. And when one becomes engaged in devotional service under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, then these anarthas actually begin to reduce. And then finally, the anarthas disappear. And as the anarthas, as they become free from anarthas, then we become more and more fixed up in devotional service. We naturally become serious. We naturally feel the urge to become selflessly engaged in devotional service. That is the stage of nishtha. So from this nishtha comes the asukti, attachment to devotional service. Then you develop the taste for devotional service. Then one feels spiritual emotion towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then finally that spiritual emotion becomes more and more condensed, and one becomes, one develops this love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that love is the ultimate goal of our life. Now, as one, according to one's faith in the process of devotional service, he is situated in different categories of devotion. One whose faith is not strong enough, he is a Kanishtha Adhikari, a neophyte devotee. A neophyte devotee is not judged by when he joined the movement. And sometimes we have a tendency, he just joined 2 months ago. So he is a neophyte devotee. It doesn't depend upon time. It depends upon one's Shraddha. Somebody may be in the movement for many, many years, but if he still did not develop that faith in Krishna and devotees and the process of devotional service, he is still a neophyte devotee. Whereas somebody may have just joined a few days ago, but if his faith is very strong, then he is an advanced devotee. Sometimes also there is a tendency, he is a householder, he lives outside. No. If somebody, even if he doesn't live in the temple, but if his faith is strong in Krishna and the process of Krishna consciousness, then he is an advanced devotee. Actually, that's the mistake that many of Prabhupada's godbrothers made. They did not see Srila Prabhupada as an advanced devotee, because he was a householder. It's an unfortunate and mundane vision. I am a sannyasi, I am a big devotee. And he is a householder, good for nothing. Actually, one should see how much faith one has developed. And if a devotee appreciate the other's devotion. And a true devotee sees the devotion in others, and he sees that he himself couldn't actually become a devotee. That is the sign of a more advanced devotee. So in this way there are three different stages of devotion. Uttamadhikar, Madhyamadhikar and Kanishthadhikar. Neophyte devotee, second class devotee and first class devotee. So when one's faith becomes considerably strong, then he begins to see that who is a devotee, who is innocent and who is offended. And he feels like reciprocating according to the person situation. He sees a devotee, he immediately wants to associate with him. Why? Because in the association of devotee he can hear Krishna Katha. So when one's faith becomes strong, his desire to hear about Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities, and the activities of devotees becomes also strong. So whenever he sees that there is a devotee, whenever he finds an opportunity to hear about Krishna and speak about Krishna, then he immediately wants to avail that opportunity. And then when he finds that someone is in need to get Krishna consciousness, someone needs Krishna consciousness, he doesn't know about Krishna. Therefore he wants to go and preach to him. And those who when he finds that someone is offensive to Krishna, he avoids them. So that is the Madhyamadhikari devotee. And the first class devotee's faith is so strong, his vision is so pure, that he sees that everyone is engaged in serving Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna. He sees that everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Only he himself couldn't become a devotee. And that is Uttamadhikari. Now you can see the differences. The Kanishka Adhikari thinks he is the only devotee and everyone else is useless. Whereas the first class devotee feels that everybody else is a devotee, only he himself couldn't become a devotee. So more we make advancement, the more we will develop this attitude. And from this attitude we can figure out whether we are progressing or regressing in spiritual life. If we think, well, now I have become a big devotee, then we are in trouble. Or then we must immediately realize that, well, I am a Kanishta Adhikari. I am the only devotee and everybody else is useless. And that is the Kanishta Adhikari's attitude. But everybody else is rendering devotional service so nicely, only I couldn't become a devotee. That is the Uttamadhikari's attitude. And of course this cannot be artificially developed. We have to understand that from Kanishta Adhikari we must try to become a Madhyamadhikari devotee, preaching devotee. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a very nice point. He said that even if somebody becomes engaged in devotional service with some material motive, it doesn't matter. Because Krishna will fulfill his material desires. And thus Krishna will free him from the material desires and make him an advanced devotee. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is all auspicious, all beneficial. It doesn't matter with what objective we approach Krishna. We become engaged in devotional service. It's all beneficial. Even if someone approaches Krishna with some material motivation, Krishna, I am in need of money, please give me a few million yen. No harm. And Prabhupada said, if you have to pray for something, then pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna, no harm. Go and ask. See whether he gives you. And when you get that, when you see that Krishna is actually fulfilling your desires, of course I am not saying that you should all go and ask for $3 million. Actually, Krishna can give you everything, but sometimes Krishna knows what is good for you and what is not good for you. So you may ask for $1 million and if Krishna doesn't give you, don't feel bad. Because if Krishna sees that giving $1 million may destroy your spiritual life, then Krishna will not give you. And you should be thankful for that. Because once you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna personally takes care of you. And he will see that you make spiritual advancement. And the ultimate goal is to actually go back to Godhead. And you can't imagine what you will get when you go back to God. Can you imagine in the spiritual sky, the stones are Chintamani. And Chintamani, you know what a Chintamani is? James, do you know what a Chintamani is? Yeah, that's John. In the material nature also there is, the Chintamani counterpart is available. That's called touchstone. And by touching with that stone, any base metal will be transformed into gold. Now you can buy all the scrap iron and with one touch you can get, you know, few thousand tons of gold. So you can really imagine with a small little stone, one small little toe stone chip from spiritual sky, you can become the richest man in this world. So material world is nothing compared to the spiritual world. It's totally spiritual, as the spiritual world is totally incomparable to this material world. And after all, what material world brings? Material world brings, what does it bring? More misery. Good. I thought you said enjoyment. that is wisdom. Actually, that's the real wisdom, to realize that material wealth brings misery. But when that wealth is used in Krishna's service, then it is no more material wealth, it is spiritual wealth. And that brings happiness. So, a wise man, an intelligent person, will not hanker for material wealth. He will simply desire for spiritual upliftment. So, even if one is a Kanishtha Adhikari in the beginning, but if he remains in Krishna consciousness, in due course of time, he will become an Uttama Adhikari. So the most important observation is, don't give up Krishna consciousness. And always remain in the association of devotees. Don't ever give up Krishna consciousness. Don't ever give up the association of devotees. Then, someday, you will become a pure devotee. That doesn't mean that you are not a pure devotee. I'm sure many of you are, I mean most of you are pure devotees. So, our consideration is that now that you have got this process of, now that we have, due to our good fortune, got this process of Krishna consciousness, we must never give it up. And remain in the association of devotees, render devotional service. Actually, devotional service is also of two types. One is sadhana bhakti, the other is prema bhakti. I didn't get into the prema bhakti, I didn't mention in the note. But you can take that note separately. Sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti. And sadhana bhakti are also of two types, vaidhi bhakti and raghana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means devotional service and practice. Now, the practice can be of two types. One is practicing according to the injunctions of the scripture. When we render devotional service strictly following the injunctions of the scriptures, then it is devotional service in Bodhi Bhakti. It's called Bodhi Bhakti. And when the devotional service is rendered following the footsteps of some associate of Krishna in Vrindavan, that is called Raghanuga Bhakti. And our line in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, our line is actually the Raghanuga Bhakti line. Now one may question that which associate of Krishna we are following. The answer to that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of devotion is the devotion of Srimati Radharani. So when we follow the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and render devotional service, we are actually following the perfect path of Radhani Vasa. In this respect, there is a beautiful instruction from Nityananda Prabhu to Srila Jiva Goswami. Nityananda Prabhu took Jiva Goswami for Navadvip Parikrama. The first Navadvip Parikrama was conducted by Nityananda Prabhu when he took Jiva Goswami. He showed him to different places. And basing on that, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book called Navadvip Dham Mahatma, The Glory of Navadvip Dham. How Nityananda Prabhu showed different places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip to Jiva Goswami. How many of you went to Navadvip Parikrama? Very good. So at the end of the Parikrama, Nityananda Prabhu actually started to instruct Jiva Goswami. It was something very, very intimate, secret. And he explained that point, that there are two types of devotion, Vaidhi Bhakti and Radhanava Bhakti. Now, by the Vaidhi Bhakti actually teaches us how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a servant. Bhasya Ras, in the mood of a servant. Now by serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mood of a servant, when one attains perfection, he attains Vaikuntha. By following the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, one can go only up to Vaikuntha. But beyond Vaikuntha, there is this region of Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is served in the mellow of friendship, parental and conjugal. Now, Krishna considered that how will the living entities get that platform? Because one cannot actually go to Krishna and start to deal with him like a friend. It is not possible for a living entity to approach Krishna and demand his friendship. Krishna, I don't want to become your servant. I want to become your friend. That doesn't happen. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be rendered, must be served with the mood of servitorship. Now, in order to enable the living entities come to Golok Vrindavan, Krishna made this very special arrangement. Krishna himself appeared as a devotee. And when one serves that devotee Krishna, Krishna as a devotee in the mood of servitorship, then he becomes qualified to develop a relationship with Krishna as a friend, a parent, or a lover. In these three elevated mellows of friendship, sakya, parental, vatsalya, and conjugal, or maitri. So, the way to go to Vrindavan has been paved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by giving us this opportunity to serve him as a servant. So we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Mahaprabhu. Prabhu means what? Prabhu means master. Now you consider Mahaprabhu means what? The greatest master. So Krishna appeared as the greatest master, but as a devotee. bhakti again has one very important consideration, that the Raganuga bhaktas, externally, they follow the rules and regulations and follow the process of vaidhi bhakti. But internally, they render service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead with spontaneous love. So this Raganuga bhakti is not actually an external display. It cannot be externally executed. It is something for internal development. Bajya lokachar karo antare te nishtha. Externally, you just do the normal activities of devotion. But internally, you develop your love for Krishna. And in this way, when one becomes engaged in devotional service unto Krishna, okay, now one point is that when one follows the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan out of greed or covetousness, he does not care for the injunctions or reasoning of Shastra. But that is done at a very advanced stage, just like the gopis in Vrindavan. The Shastric injunction is that a wife should become fully surrendered to the husband. The Shastra says that the wife should not think of anybody else besides the husband. One should not associate with other male persons. But here, they rejected all these scriptural codes, and they just ran after Krishna. So that is the highest stage of devotional service. But again, these activities cannot be imitated. It doesn't mean that when one becomes a devotee, he should dump his wife, husband and children. No, externally one should follow the scriptural injunctions, but internally one should develop his love for Krishna. Devotional service should not become a matter of convenience. It should be executed with a sole intention of pleasing Krishna. Then through devotional service one gradually develops his love for Krishna. So that is the same bhakti. When one develops his love, spontaneous love, or one's inherent love for Krishna, that is the ultimate goal of life. So this is the summary of the Abhidheya aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. Maybe you can make a correction. There's a spelling mistake. Listen to the beginning. It says Abhidheya. That there will be an H after D. It's Abhidheya. And one of the points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points, due to good fortune, the good hasn't been printed. Due to good fortune, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. So, does anybody have any question? You can take the microphone. Yes. It's on.
Internal energy means jivamaya. Just as
Mahamaya, or the material energy of Krishna, external energy of Krishna, is bewildering the living entity. The internal energy of the Lord, Yogamaya, takes the devotee to Krishna. The external energy keeps the living entity bewildered in order to keep him away from Krishna. But the internal energy takes him to Krishna. Now, when more and more devotees get together in order to render service unto Krishna, then Yogamaya makes the arrangements to take them to, or to get to enhance their service to Krishna, enable them to serve Krishna. Therefore, that is in the under the jurisdiction of the internal energy. So the service to the Lord is material or spiritual? When the devotees are trying to serve Krishna, are they in a material plane or a spiritual plane? So you have a question?
Yes. I'd like to know, when the one even becomes involved, concept, when do we understand the unit? We are the soul and not the body. I'd like to know the devotion.
Material body is actually a covering caused by the illusory energy. It is not just a matter, but it's a matter arranged in such a way that the spirit soul within thinks that it is him. And consider the development, like in the womb of the mother, the spirit soul started to develop his body from a small little embryo. Now gradually, you know, he develops and this body and his consciousness becomes so entangled with his body that he feels that his body is his. Now the cause of this material bondage or the illusory influence of the external energy of the world upon the living entity is due to the living entity's forgetfulness of Krishna. Is that he enjoys this material. Now when he reverses the process, that means he tries to become engaged in serving the Lord and reject all the tendency to enjoy himself, then he begins to become more and more free from the misconception, identifying himself. So when he becomes truly engaged in the service of the Lord, then his spiritual body actually becomes manifest. In the sense, you see, when the incenses are engaged in serving Krishna, actually devotional service means to engage the senses in pleasing and pleasure of Krishna, in order to give pleasure to Krishna. So when the senses become engaged in giving pleasure to Krishna, then the senses become spiritual. And in that way, gradually, our spiritual body becomes manifest. And then one literally sees that his body is something different from himself. Just like you can see how the coat, the jacket that you're wearing is different from yourself, although it is on top of you. Similarly, at that stage, a realized spirit soul, due to the awakening of his spiritual identity, he sees how this material body is just a covering.
various downsides.
Yes, yes. But one can understand it theoretically in the beginning, like by reading Bhagavad Gita. So he realizes theoretically, but the ultimate practical realization will come at an instant when he becomes fully engaged in serving the Lord and thus develops his spiritual life.
Okay. The second question is, could you perhaps just give a brief description of the first ego? I don't really understand it very well.
Yeah. False ego means the mistaken identity. You see, we all have our identity, but when the identity gets distorted or we develop a mistaken identity, that is where the false ego is. Now, we have our identity. Our real identity is that we are servants of Krishna. But instead of thinking that we are servants of Krishna, when we begin to think, I'm the master of the universe, then, and that is a mistaken identity, this universe is for me. It's only a matter of time before I start to dominate over the universe. So that is the false ego, the mistaken identity. But actually we are servants of Krishna. That is our real identity. We are master of matter. Yes, James?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was wondering if you could please explain how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was able to write Kamaladavita Mahatmya. And obviously he wrote it many years after Nityananda Prabhu actually took Jiva Goswami around in the retreat. So was it in a trance or was it in a vision or was it revealed to him somehow, or how was it accomplished?
See, first of all, I will answer the questions in two different stages. The first aspect or first stage of the answer will be that a personality like Bhakti Vinod Thakur is an eternally liberated soul. And he sees things. He sees he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes within his heart. As it has been described, that still today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are going on. Only some fortunate souls are able to see that. So, that way, we can understand that a pure devotee like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, although apparently he came much after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance from this planet, but could see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes with his spiritual vision. And the second aspect of the understanding is that although they can see, but they don't write things without some substantial basis or substantial materials. Now I do not know about Navadip Dham Mahatma, but I know about Harinam Chintamani. Actually, the Harinam Chintamani is the teaching of Haridas Thakur. Now, Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote Harinam Chintamani as if Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were discussing. But actually, Bhakti Vinod Thakur received some notes, some manuscript written by one of Haridas Thakur's disciples or followers. And basing on those instructions, Haridas Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Harinam Chintamani. Similarly, although I personally do not exactly know, but I feel that Bhaktivinoda Thakur may have found some manuscripts or some notes describing Nityananda Prabhu's tour of Navadvip Dham with Jiva Goswami, and basing on that he wrote. Yes. she has a question back.
Krishna's name means the all-attractive one. What does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name mean?
Yes. Chaitanya, very good question, first of all. Krishna, as you said, is all. Krishna means all-attractive. Chaitanya, the word Chaitanya means consciousness. And Mahaprabhu's name is actually Krishna Chaitanya. So it means Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Yes?
I just was a bit confused about Lord Chaitanya appears every 28th time in the Yuga Brahma.
On the 28th
Yuga.
Yuga. Out of 1,000 in a day of Brahma.
Right. And so the two parts of the question. First of all, is it quite the same that we're born in this Yuga in this century to take part in the process of learning to develop the Lord Godhead? And the second part of the question is it in other cycles, does Lord Chaitanya come again and try and emphasize what Vajrayana is feeling more than once? Or
So the answer to the first part of your question is, yes, it is our very rare good fortune that we have taken birth in this planet at this point in time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually distributed Krishna consciousness, and then specially fortunate because Srila Prabhupada came and distributed it all over the world. Had Prabhupada not have come, then probably most of us wouldn't become devotees today. Right? So yes, it is a very, very special mercy, causeless mercy that has been bestowed upon us. Therefore, it is up to us now to take full advantage of that mercy. And we can take full advantage of the mercy by becoming a sincere devotee of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, the second part of your question, whether in other times of day of Brahma, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes besides the 28th Chatur Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga. The answer is no. In a day of Brahma, he comes only once. You see, Krishna comes in Dwapar Yuga, 28th for Chatur Yuga, Deva Yuga of Brahma's day, and in the following Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in order to enhance Krishna's mercy, in order to give people the right understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's right understanding of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And then he will come again in the next day of Brahma after 2,000 Diva Yugas. That means after 8.46 billion years. Yes, Jim?
I'd just like to clarify that, because in Bhagavad Gita we hear that
the Krishna which appeared 5,000 years ago appeared in the role of Vaishvata Manu, who is the seventh Manu. And then each day of Brahma there are 14 Manus. And from the CC we understand that Krishna appears more or less in the middle of Brahma's day. So am I correct in saying that he appeared in the 28th and Dwapara Yuga as the rule of the seventh Manu?
Okay.
Is that correct?
Well, I'll just say, my answer to your question. You see, when Krishna says, imam vivarshati yogam praptavanaham abhayam, that I gave this wisdom to Vivarshan, it's not necessarily he came as Krishna. Like in the beginning of creation also he gave the wisdom to Vishnu, Brahma. But that was not Swayam Rup Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead of Vrindavan, the cowherd boy. That cowherd boy of Vrindavan comes only on the 28th Chaturyuga of Brahma's day. And now the other consideration also is, the Krishna that spoke Bhagavad Gita is not the Brajendra Nandan Krishna. It is Vasudeva Krishna. So, now you understand. So it's the Vasudeva Krishna, the Swayamrupa Krishna, who comes once in a day.
Yeah, that I understand. I was just wondering, because yesterday you were explaining about the Manvantaram avatars who come once every 71 cycle of Divya Yugas. So therefore there are 14 Manvantara avatars that come in one day of Brahma. Is that correct? And one of those is the original Swayam Krishna.
Okay. The Manvantara avatars are actually his Vilasha expansion, Tadek Atma. It's not Swayam Rup. Swayam Rup Krishna is Krishna of Gola Vrindavan, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj and who is a cowherd boy. Right? Now this Manvantara avatars are not cowherd boy Krishna. Even Krishna of Dwarka is not the cowherd boy Krishna. He is Kshatriya Krishna. The one who spoke, Krishna, who spoke Bhagavad Gita is not the cowherd boy Krishna who spoke. But it's the Vasudev, the Kshatriya Krishna, Vasudev's son, Devaki Nandan Krishna who spoke. And so that, the understanding is, when the original Krishna comes, with him, all the incarnations come, because they all emanate from his body, from him. Therefore all the incarnations are with Krishna. And these different, say for example, the ones those were killing the demons, it was not Krishna who was killing the demons, because it's not his business to kill demons. But the killing of demons is the business of Vishnu, whose business is to maintain the material world. So it's the Vishnu in Krishna who is killing the demons. So this also has been explained very nicely in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, the answer is the Manvantara avatars are not Krishna himself. They are Krishna's Shamsa incarnations. So, okay, one, two, okay.
Earlier we were talking about the extensions, well, not only of Krishna, but of the avatars, and that is it possible by studying scripture to discover Srila Prabhupada's identity?
Well, so far we haven't found any description in the scripture. Somehow Krishna is keeping it a secret. But I'm sure in due course of time it will be revealed, proper identity will be revealed.
Maharaj, we see that the spiritual mastery is acting as a Madhyam Adhikari, but actually we understand that the spiritual master is actually an Uttama. So how can we sort of understand that in our minds and in our hearts?
How can we understand?
Even though that the spiritual master is acting as a Madhyam, he is actually an Uttama, or should we always accept the spiritual master as an Uttama?
You see, disciples' business is not only to see the spiritual master as an Uttama Adhikari, but to see him as Sakshat Harityana, as non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the more he develops his faith in the spiritual master in this way, the more he will make spiritual advancement. The more Krishna's mercy will be bestowed upon him. And therefore, one should, before taking initiation, one must check it out, whether he has that faith. And the advice is that until you develop the faith, you better wait. Don't just rush into taking initiation when you don't have the faith. Only when you are prepared to surrender yourself completely unto your spiritual master, take initiation. And of course, spiritual master also has to be bona fide. Bona fide means the spiritual master has to be a perfect representative of Krishna. He has to be a vaya medium. Vaya medium means he should be in the line of disciplic succession, and the disciple should see the entire disciplic succession, the teachings of the entire disciplic succession, all the way up to Krishna, through him. And when one gets that understanding or perception, then he naturally feels surrendered to him, provided he is sincere about spiritual life. That's why spiritual path is a very wonderful process. Very wonderful process in the sense, what to speak of Madhyam Adhikari, the spiritual master may even act as if he is not even a devotee. He will say, well, I couldn't become a devotee. Like, for example, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami is saying that I am worse, I am more fallen than a worm in the stool. And I am more degraded, I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. Now, if Krishna Kaviraj Goswami speaks like that, and we think that, well, look at him, then we'll be in trouble. We must understand that a pure devotee will naturally be very humble, and he will not disclose his identity. He will pretend as if he is not a devotee. He is not even a Kanishtha Adhikari devotee. That's what happened once. I had a good fortune of meeting one of Prabhupada's god brothers when somebody was telling him that somebody else said that he is a Kanishtha Adhikari. So his response was, at least he considered me to be a Kanishtha Adhikari. So I thank him very much. But actually I am not even a devotee. So a Vaishnava will always act like that. He will not put his foot down and say, I am the
pure devotee. I am Devasamadhikari. I am non-different from Krishna. No. The scripture says that. Shakshadharitena shamasta shastra. But the spiritual master is a Vaishnava and naturally he is very humble. But a disciple must treat the spiritual master with all respect. That he is my Lord and Master. He is my only means to go back to Godhead. He is my only means to be linked up to Krishna. So let me just surrender unto him wholeheartedly. Then Krishna will reciprocate. So the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, is a bona fide representative of Krishna. And by surrendering unto him wholeheartedly, a disciple makes spiritual advancement. Okay. Hare Krishna Brahmadev. Last question.
Thank you very much for offering this opportunity. We understand that if one wants to enjoy separately from Krishna, independently from Krishna, then one is acting under the influence of Maya, whereas Krishna holds onto the person. Now, what influence is the person acting under or being influenced by in the spiritual world when one wants to again enjoy apart from Krishna and this results in his fall? What is influencing the person there, causing his fall?
Jad gatvana nivartante. Once going back, one never comes back. So when a living entity goes back, Krishna gives the assurance. Jad gatvana nivartante. When one goes back there, he doesn't come back. He doesn't fall down. Is that alright? Or you're saying that when the living entity is there
in the first instance.
Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that it is inconceivable, it's achintya. We can't figure out why we fell down from the spiritual side. Because that happened in the spiritual realm of time, which is totally different from the material time. So unless and until we go back to that dimension of time, we will not find out how we fell down. Another example can be given in this respect is, like when you are dreaming, can you figure out how you fell asleep? Only when you wake up, you realize that it was a dream, and then you figure out, yeah, this is my bed, and I was so tired and I just, as soon as I lay down, I crashed out. So, actually Prabhupada didn't want us to waste our time to figure out how we fell down. Prabhupada's point is, now you are here, try to go back. Don't waste your time figuring out how you fell down. You are fallen. Now try to get up and go back. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the assembled devotees. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Vishvatavine. Om Agyanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mamadhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Sva Padantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanibho vaishnavibho namo namaha. Nana shastra vicharinaika nipunam sad
लोकानां हितकारिणां त्रिभुवने मानं शरणं करो लोकानां हितकारिणां राधा कृष्ण पदारविंद भजना नंदे नमस्तालिको वंदे सनातन रघुजुगो श्रीजीव गोपाल वंदे रूप सनातन